Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for today is somewhat like we celebrate Advent and Christmas. It's a long introduction and then kind of a short end. Well, that's actually, in regard of our text, due to the wisdom of the committee that selected it, because Paul is going on for another 16 verses talking about Christ. A long introduction and then a very short feast. All that preparation, almost 4 weeks, and after 1.5 days, everything is over. And the next cycle of decorating and preparation begins. So here our text. All that long, winding story from the choosing of the fathers. And then you have, just at the end, a little bit of Jesus. Kind of unsatisfactory, and it's also unsatisfactory how we celebrate Advent and Christmas, at least I think so. No wonder that Advent as a time of preparation has died out in popular culture. And maybe it's not just the fault of the Reformed who don't know the church here and are predominant here in the States, or the fault of the commercialization that is inevitable in a society where the market is the ultimate dominating force. Maybe, this time it's not the world's fault, but it's the Christian's fault. It's the Christian's fault, maybe, because we have this long time of preparation, and then the feast is over in a moment. I miss Germany at that time especially, and I miss the second Christmas day. So if you want to petition your representative, why not petition 26 a public holiday? Then at least you have 2 days of Christmas. It's a little bit like, you know, preparing a wedding and then half a day it's over. You want to have more. You must do it like the Orient. Celebrate for a few days. Get together, have a good time. So Christmas really should take 12 days till Epiphany. Celebrate Christmas. Don't throw out the tree at 26th. Celebrate Christmas for 12 days. And you can sing the song of the 12 days of Christmas through that. But maybe the way we celebrate Advent and Christmas is also a hint to the history of salvation. It was a long time of preparation, about 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus, and then 3 years of the public ministry of our Lord, 3 years where Christ, the God incarnate, preaches, teaches on earth. 2,000 years and then 3 years, and now almost another 2,000 years, where we wait again for the fulfillment of the prophecy, where we again wait for the completion of salvation. It seems it's a long wait. It's a long wait, and it's a kind of disproportionate. Our text gives us the long road to salvation. And the first thing it says is, God is the author of this salvation. God does it all. He chose the fathers. He redeems Israel from the Pharaoh. He puts up with Israel in the desert. He gives judges. He gave them Saul when they thought they wanted to be like every other people and have a king. And he deposes Saul and raises up David, a new king. And at last, he raised up Jesus, the Savior, from the seed of David. It's all God's doing. Through the vicissitudes of history, through the rise and the fall of great powers, God pursues and engenders his plan of salvation. He and he alone is the author of salvation. Men are only his instruments. And on this long road of salvation, God fulfills his promise through weak men and also in spite of man's unbelief and apostasy. God puts up with the people of Israel in the wilderness. He puts up with their whining and complaining and their unbelief. He fulfilled the promise that they will inherit the land, even if it takes a detour of 40 years in the wilderness, till one generation has died and the next comes up. He fulfilled his promise and sustained Israel, even though they despised him as their king, and wanted to be like other people. And he deposed Saul after Saul had been disobedient and chose a new instrument, David. He raised up John, who prepared the way for Christ, a mighty preacher. Even though John then, when he was in prison, got kind of shaky in his faith and wondered, was it the right thing to do? Was Jesus the right person? Should they wait for somebody else? So, when we look at this portion of Scripture, we see it has been a long way to salvation, and there is also a long way to go. We are not the first who need patience. Israel needed patience, 2,000 years of preparation. And so we also need patience, waiting for the second coming of our Lord. We see that God is the author of salvation. Throughout history, through the preparation of Israel in the sending of Christ, and he is also the author of our salvation, when he called us out of darkness and death through his word, and gave us faith through which we apprehend justification, saving word of the gospel. And God will complete what he has started when Christ will return visibly in his flesh, when Christ raises the dead, when he will free us from sin and its effect, and thus restore creation. God uses in this history of salvation men, but he does not depend on men. Where men desert him, he chooses new instruments. He raises up new ones. The defection of Saul was not the end of the plan of salvation. David came. It is a great honor to be involved in God's salvific work. It is a great honor to be a messenger who brings God's gifts to the people. But never ever adopt that attitude, God and I do really great things in this place. In spite of man's sin and through the tumult of history, God carries and gathers his elect. And therefore we can be of good courage. God is holding the reins, even if everything seems to be just chance and decay and things that depress us. God holds the reins of history. Sometimes he works slowly, but he works. The God who became flesh will return and will restore creation, and then it will be like in the beginning. As in the book of Job, creation is described. The morning stars will sing together, and all the sons of God will shout for joy, praising God that everything that he has done is good. Amen.